In the Obama years, outsider artists, musicians, and writers suddenly found themselves inside the mainstream and often inside the White House. For New York's culture producers, and particularly non-white and women artists, that represented a sea change in opportunities, audience, and expectations. As part of our series, The Obama Years, The View from New York, WNYC's Arun Venugopal reflects on what happens when outsider art becomes insider art.
In May of 2009, in the early days of the Obama era, the White House held a poetry jam, and out walked a young man sporting short hair and a sharp black suit, sounding like he was just out of college.
I'm actually working on a hip-hop album.
It was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It's a concept album about the life of someone I think embodies hip-hop, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. You laugh, but it's true.
There was the president holding his hand over his mouth to suppress a smile, while Michelle Obama laughed out loud. Remember, this was 6 years before Hamilton the musical, well before Lin-Manuel Miranda became a household name.
How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman...
Outside, the U.S. economy was in free fall. Unemployment was about to hit 10%. But in here, the White House was ahead of the curve. The president and his aides were leading a conversation on art and culture that would have a profound influence on the country.
Maybe it's the most conscientious White House that we've had. I dare to say ever, because I have only been around for a few decades.
Writer, comedian, and cultural critic Baratunde Thurston, a regular guest of the White House.
Go to whitehouse.gov/performances and see Queen Latifah, Mavis Staples, Alabama Shakes,
Esperanza Spalding, Audra McDonald.
I can't stop talking about him and talking about him and talking about him. I can't stop talking about him, the man that I adore. I can't
Booker
stop
T. Jones, about him, Justin Timberlake, Arturo Sandoval and Stevie Wonder, Lyle Lovett, Keb Moe.
Well, remember, if you can, when cotton was picked by hand.
This is a White House that recognizes that one of its greatest powers is the power to convene, and the power to elevate, and the power to, in a sense, like, retweet.
I can see my future. I can feel my past.
And I think why that's so powerful is that a lot of these types of voices are not the kind that have had historic access to power.
Meaning black voices, Latinos, Asian Americans, and Native Americans.
Praise song for the day.
Almost exactly 8 years ago today, poet Elizabeth Alexander stood on the Mall before a crowd of almost 2 million to mark the inauguration of the nation's first black president.
Say it plain, that many have died for this day. Sing the names of the dead who brought us here, who laid the train tracks, raised the bridges, picked the cotton and the lettuce.
I think that the vision was to say, first of all, in the White House, what would be on the walls? Who would come in and play music? Who would be invited to come in and hear that music?
I spoke to Elizabeth Alexander this month at her home on the Upper West Side.
What's high culture? What's so-called low culture? And can we think of those things on a similar plane in some instances? What is American creative expressive excellence?
It helped that the Obamas are sophisticated consumers of culture. They're paying attention to what the kids are listening to, along with Charles Mingus and Howlin' Wolf. Alexander said that when it came to the programming in the White House, there was a clear effort to communicate the things that can't easily be captured in a speech.
What art can do is capture us at the emotional level. It can capture us at the level of contradiction.
A friend who worked in the administration told me the idea was that artists weren't there simply to perform, but as part of the very fabric of the White House. Here's Frank Ocean at the Italian State Dinner. There's Chance the Rapper. And it wasn't just celebrities. The door was open to all kinds of writers, activists, and community organizers. Kehan Irani is a storyteller from Queens and was honored as a champion of change. When she arrived at the White House wearing her royal blue sari, she was cynical, figuring that since it was Asian Pacific Heritage Month, this is all just a PR exercise. But
the whole day, the message from everyone was that you're welcome here. This is your place. You have a home here. It makes me want to cry just thinking about it now. You know, I'm like, can't look at you right now because, you know, it's going to make me cry.
Kehan was there with her parents. They had moved with her from India decades ago when she was just 4 and experienced a loss of status. They'd been middle class, but now they were working class. People insulted them and made racist jibes, teased them for their accents. So as a human rights activist, her feelings about going to a White House event were complicated.
But to see the intentionality behind it and to feel it in every small gesture really made my heart full. And in some way, it did make me mature as an individual, because I think you can get stuck in an immature way of saying, well, this country doesn't want me, and screw them and screw everyone. And I had to recognize that I am American. I'm American. I'm 100% American.
And for some Americans watching from afar, perhaps it was a little too much. The president's meeting with Kendrick Lamar in the Oval Office. The cavalcade of pop stars like Beyonce, Jay-Z, writers of color, people who speak out against the criminal justice system or police shootings or imperialism, not to mention the sheer effortless glamour of it all. Baratunde Thurston.
When you're not used to being challenged, anything that challenges you feels overwhelming. And that's the history we got to deal with. Like, it's hundreds of years of that. I get how that'd be a lot to swallow. It can feel like a cultural assault.
But in addition to being consumers of art and conveners of art, the Obamas are artists and performers themselves. The First Lady danced before us and with us. And the president, he was our performer in chief. We knew long ago how eloquent he could be. The oration, the perfect turn of phrase. But after years of Obama the thoughtful, Obama the wise, we were treated to Obama the halting singer, leading a crowd in church after the Charleston shootings.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Through art, the president insisted that at some level, he was still one of us, that he was vulnerable, and with his creaking, off-pitch, imperfect self, he drew us closer, walked us past the curtains and the velvet ropes and all the stagecraft.
It just so happens that we celebrate our country's birthday on the same day that we celebrate my oldest daughter's birthday. So just a quick happy birthday for Malia. Happy birthday to you.
The leader of the free world felt fine about singing off key.
Happy birthday.
For 8 years, the president, along with the artists that he championed, reminded us that the republic is deeply flawed. But it's no less worthy of our love.
Thank you, everybody. God bless you. God bless America.
For WNYC, I'm Arun Vanugopal.